Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Hello, folks, and thank you once again for coming to Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the Growing Conservative Conversation, and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com. And tonight, we have a very special guest who is the founder of the Patriot Journalist Network, Mark Preissig. And, of course, as always, callers and chat participation are welcome. And join the host and our special guests, the Bard's Logic panelists, and other audience members. And, of course, come to our roundtable discussion, and all mics do stay open. Now, tonight, Bard's Logic does welcome Patriot Journalist Network founder Mark Preissig. The Patriot Journalist Network is a team of conservatives working together to support the conservative cause through the use of Twitter. Currently, with over 2,000 members, the Patriot Journalist Network reaches over 7 million timelines. Mark Preissig is a gifted programmer and founder of the Patriot Journalist Network on Twitter. The PJNet hashtag has become a well-known brand in conservative conversation and activism. Mark specializes in social media applications that actually do more than just a website. Patriot Journalist Network started in October of 2012, and his Patriot Journalist app and website has appealed to the public with over 15 interactive and useful tools to advance the conservative cause on Twitter. Members have even more tools to advance their Twitter experience. And also with elected officials, Patriot Journalist Network speaks out elected officials in the U.S. House and Senate who take initiatives favorable to the conservative cause. Members then retweet their message as a team. And we'll talk more about that tonight. Mark has also established favorable dialogue with press secretaries and communication directors of many conservative elected officials in the U.S. House and Senate. He has worked closely with them, wordsmithing their conservative tweets that are retweeted by the entire Patriot Journalist Network team. And, of course, Bard's Logic is the grassroots We the People show. Time, without no further ado, I will bring in our special guest. Thank you very much, Mark, for coming to the show. How are you?
Hey, you figured out which caller I was.
Yes, it did. They're lining up here. Yeah,
I'm calling from my Washington bureau from the 202 area code.
Got it. So how are you doing this Christmas season?
It's been a busy weekend, a busy day, and got more busy days ahead.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you and me both. I'll be up quite late even after the show. I may not even be able to do the extended version as I usually do since I got to get up quite early in the morning. And so we'll go ahead and get things started with the interview, okay?
Sure. Go right ahead.
Sounds great. Well, you know, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, you are the founder of the Patriot Journalist Network. What was the impetus in starting the project? How did it begin?
Well, it actually would go way back. The idea of using social media and using an application to get permissions goes all the way back to the 2010 midterm election cycle. The idea and the implementation of it came along way too late. It takes a little while to develop this technology, but the idea remained the same. And as you know, when the 2012 cycle came around, we became very active as part of a Facebook project. during the Newt primary. And you can probably share more about that than I can. But I did realize that there is a synergy and there is something special about when Patriots get together and we use a webcam to actually get some face-to-face time and get interactive with chat and start forming relationships. And that's one of the empty voids we need to fill, because we've got – I was very impressed when you were, I think, speaking one night on another Blog Talk radio show you had called in, and you made the observation there's a lot of passion out there. And we need to get that passion organized, and we need to get it focused and channeled into a specific goal. And that kind of paved the way following what was – at some point it became apparent that Newt would probably not be the nominee. And I had to begin developing a strategy to go forward, whether he was or was not the nominee. So that gave rise to a broader tent that we called Patriot Journalist Network, and we focused on Twitter. And that's how we got started.
Well, I definitely remember those days, being up quite late working on the campaign and brainstorming and things of that nature. Those are some good times. I actually kind of miss those.
I have some very good memories, and well, the fact that we're, speaking together here today, that's when we first encountered one mm-hmm. another. So we have to keep those relationships open and, and find areas where we can work together.
Certainly, and the sooner the better. We can't wait to election time to do that. And you briefly touched on it and talking about moving forward. What was the beginning goal of the network, and how has it changed over time or evolved in its mission today?
Well, actually, the mission and the goal has not changed. We realized that we really had to make appeals in three places. First of all, the public had to have – we had to have something to offer the public so that anybody that visited our website, there would be something there of use to them that would help them advance the conservative conversation, specifically on Twitter. So we put together a pretty neat package of tools that the public can consume. One of the more popular ones has been we have a directory of the U.S. House and Senate. Well, so what? There's a bunch of those. But this is a social media directory, and what I did is literally go to house.gov and senate.gov and went to every official website of every elected official, Republican or Democrat. And on their website, if they had a Facebook link, I harvested that address. If they had a Twitter link, I harvested that. If they have an RSS feed, I harvested that. If they had an Instagram, every social media official authoritative source. And I put it in a database. And when we put this on the web page, you can instantly go to any Facebook, Twitter, whatever account. And the important thing here is there's a lot of fake Twitter accounts out there that you might think are the actual senators.
right, yeah. I've seen some of those myself.
And boy, you're just tweeting up a storm to nobody. And it might even be the opposition as far as they're concerned. But these are authoritative links. These were harvested directly from Senate.gov and House.gov. We've also mounted a tweet button there. So all you have to do if you want to tweet a message to a particular congressman, just click the button, and it automatically will be tweeted to the official account. So that's a very popular tool there may be another such directory out there. I don't know. If there is, I certainly haven't found it, nor has it been well advertised.
Okay, and I'm actually chatting with some of the folks here in the chat. Welcome to the show tonight. Thank you for coming. And, of course, thank you to those listening live in the archive as well. And so we'll move on to the next question. I do have someone on the line. One of our panelists who I'm sure will have some questions as well. And, of course, for those who are regulars on the show, it is James Neighbors, who is the founder of the Overpasses for Obama Impeachment, and I believe Overpasses for America as well. someone in the chat mentioned, and that was the Patriots Bunker, and we're actually going to bring this up now, and thank you for coming to the show, Patriots Bunker, is you mentioned with 2,000 members reaching over 7 million Twitter timelines, what do you attribute to the network's success?
Well, obviously, it's those members. Without those members, there would be no success. And members are not easy to come by.
Right.
As I said, we need to reach out to the public, but we also need to reach out to members, so we have to offer something for our members. And what we offer is a collection of Twitter tools, and the most popular of which is we've got a Twitter drip engine. Now, frankly, I almost didn't do it, Robert. Because there's already numerous tweet engines out there. But one of the things that's almost unheard of, you can certainly schedule a tweet to go out in the future, but it's difficult to get one to go out in the future and repeat itself every so often. The other thing is some of the other products, they're software products, so your computer has to be turned on, running, and logged in. So for many people, that's not practical. We created a product that's in the cloud product, and you simply can compose your own tweet and say, I want to start this tweet on this hour and this minute, and I want it repeated every X number of hours. And that's a very popular service. So we offer that to our members. We also offer members some features whereby they can automatically retweet things. For example, I'll get into that later, actually, because that's what we offer elected officials. But the bottom line to your question is, without those members, we would not have any success. We've got no leverage, no bargaining chip to take to elected officials. And to become a member is free, but you are giving the application permission to tweet or retweet on your behalf. And we'll get into later, you know, under what circumstances that happens, but that's a very broad permission that I frankly would be extremely cautious giving anybody or any organization. So members were a little slow coming at first.
Mm-hmm. But it takes time to build that trust up, yeah.
Yeah, but now, I mean, with 2,000 members, I think it's pretty easy. It's easier for people to say, well, if those people did it, I'll do it too.
Right. Exactly. And you mentioned some of the benefits, and you do not have to even be a member to get benefits from it. What are some of the benefits and resources that are open to the public?
I could go to my own website, and if you go to patriotjournalist.com, there's a section. Patriotjournalist.com. I'll learn to spell it here in a minute. PATRIOTJOURNALIST.com. How's that? And over on the left, you'll see a navigational menu. So I'm going to go into what we offer the public, and it's got it enumerated. We have crusades, and those are basically opportunities for you to tweet a shout-out of thanks to that rare occasion when an elected official does something favorable to the conservative cause. Usually it is you're tweeting thanks to co-sponsors of some conservative legislation. We've recently, about 5 weeks ago, started the Red Meat live Twitter events. We've also got every YouTube video released from every GOP House and Senate member all there on one page. That's the best source of GOP news you're ever going to find. We do the same thing with our press releases. We already mentioned the social media directory. There's also a complete Twitter list for the GOP House and Senate that you can take advantage of. And we've even got a Blog Talk Radio showcase.
Yes.
And it's really growing,
cool. I see.
Yeah.
We need to work with them, too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, for Twitter gurus, you know, details on who a specific Twitter account is following. You can just put in any two arbitrary Twitter usernames, and it'll tell you if user A follows user B and user B follows user A or does not, okay? Another neat tool we offer is tools on who retweeted a tweet. We've all gone to Twitter and we see the little retweet thing, and it's pathetic. It's pathetic. They only list about 25, the most recent 25. Well, we can actually go back as far as 100, and unfortunately Twitter limits it to 100. But you get really good forensic information and very easy to follow. You can find out how many followers, all the pedigree you want to know, and then some, in a nice, easy-to-read format to make follow decisions real easy. We can find out. You just go to patriotjournalist.com and read what we offer the public. It's pretty darn good, in my opinion, but I'm not very objective.
Well, it does have a lot of great things on there. Of course, you know, as a member myself, I guess I'm not very objective either. But, you know, what are the benefits of being a member? How does one become a member, and if there's any requirements? And who are the target members, you know, target folks to be members, such as, you know, grassroots folks, conservative activists, things of that nature?
Yeah. I'm on our website. I'm just going down the list. There's a section called What We Offer Our Members. Okay, we've got the recurring tweet scheduler. That's the primary tool that most members want to use. We've got an even more exhaustive set of unfollow and follow tools to keep your Twitter account cleaned up. And that's a science that many people never really even know exists, let alone master it. We make it pretty easy to get rid of followers that you shouldn't have. We've also got a neat thing. We call it Tweet Suite. And I don't know, you may have never noticed, but maybe you did. You see certain tweets have this thing, and it'll say View Summary right underneath the tweet. And when you click on that, it's usually from the Wall Street Journal or some major Fortune 500 company. Well, actually, your tweet can have that. And what's neat is you can put another 200 characters of content in that summary. And that summary becomes a link to what is a really kind of a mini blog article. So we've created sort of a blogging engine that when you publish a link to your blog, it will automatically include that view summary stuff. So it's a really nice feature that most people, usually that's technology that's only available, you know, to Wall Street Journal, Washington Post type organizations. When we do a crusade, which we've done many and they've been very popular, where you can give a shout out to all the co-sponsors, instead of going down a list of 30 or 40 tweet buttons, you can just click one button and you will automatically tweet it. You can automatically thank your new followers. You can automatically welcome new members. You can automatically retweet other members' tweets. It just goes on and on. Go to the website, patriotjournalist.com.
Okay, and I'm just replying to a couple folks here on Facebook. Thank you, Dale and Arlene, for your messages there. And I'll look into, looks like there's some folks having a few problems posting the link. And I actually had some problems myself, so I don't know if...
You corrected the spelling of my name. And
yes, I did, and it used to not do that, but now it does.
Rendered the old link useless. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it used to not do that. It used to ask you if you could... if you can change the, if you want to change the link, you had an option, but now it automatically does it. So I think that's where the problems are.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I see someone here, Dale. He just shared the link, and he didn't seem to have any problems. So we'll see how that develops. I know when I tried it a couple of times, what happened was instead of it taking you straight, you know, directly to so the show tonight, it did take you to the homepage.
To the homepage,
of Bard's Logic,
yes.
Right, of Bard's Logic Political Talk, and then you could just find the upcoming episode from there.
Right.
So, but anyway, we'll move on, and then I'll answer to their questions. It says the PHNet hashtag, and we've talked about it, on Twitter has become very popular. You know, I see it all the time now, even being used by some politicians. Tell us about the outreach Patriot Journalist engages in order to get this type of attention.
Well, first of all, we call them you know, on the phone. But calling an elected official at the United States Senate or House, for that matter, you're going to be answered probably by an intern. and whatever you've got to say, they will take copious notes and make a note of it, and that'll probably be the end of that. But because we have a membership and because we have permission to tweet or retweet on their behalf, we were eventually able to get through to some press secretaries, and we advised them that, one, we're already offering, you know, whether they want to play or not, every YouTube video they publish is on our video blog page. And when they see that, that feels good to them. And then we tell them, say, look, there's an account we have that announces that, you know, we're going to put it in here regardless. You can see that. But we have a special account set up that if you follow that account will announce that, hey, there's a brand new YouTube video from Congressman Blankety Blank from state such and such. And obviously that's a robot account, but nonetheless, many of our members, and at this point well over 100, have elected to retweet those announcements. And then, of course, they see the account, and all of a sudden they see that they're already producing the YouTube, and simply by following this account that we have will enhance their impressions and the number of views they get on their videos. And it puts it in a showcase that's very, very professionally done and you know, basically looks nice. We do the same thing with their press releases. We call them blogs, but they're, in fact, they're press releases. And we have an account they can follow. So they begin following those two accounts. And, of course, when you can get a United States congressman to follow a robot account, that's pretty cool. They typically don't follow many people at all, let alone a bot. So that was kind of fun. We later developed what we do is we're scanning their tweets. And I let them know, say, look, if you elect to use the PJNet hashtag, our automation will detect that within a minute. And over 100 of our members have opted to retweet your tweet if you use the PJNet hashtag. And, of course, Congress is not in session right now, but what I will do, I will go ahead and put the link to the page where we display the tweets that have from U.S. Congress. Actually, only GOP is the only thing we monitor. And if you look at the tweets, I'll just post it in the chat, and view the actual tweet, look at the number of retweets, and then go look at some of their other tweets that do not have the PJNet hashtag, there is a substantial difference. This one here from Congressman Fincher has 198 retweets because he used the PJNet hashtag. Now, if I go down to through his account and look at some of his other tweets that do not, let's find one that says something. Okay, he's got one here about Obamacare. It's got two retweets. So there is a difference when you use the PJNet hashtag. But this is the leverage that we have. We have a united membership that says, look, we're going to do this. And it's the membership and the unity and the focus that provides this kind of effect. It's not my personal charisma, nor is the technology alone responsible for it. It's the membership that says, we want to do it. And it works.
Yeah, and it's, you know, been doing it, you said, since October 2012, but I think you've been working on it a little bit before that. But what are some of the new projects that the Patriot Journalist Network is looking to do in the future?
Well, we're probably going to just continue with the mission that we have, that being to seek out and identify elected officials in the U.S. House and Senate that take a favorable conservative initiative and find ways to applaud that and uphold that. What we're doing here is taking a page out of the dog training manual. Rewarded behavior tends to reoccur. It's not a secret. And the fact is there are many venues, Blog Talk Radio is one of them, where conservatives get together and express our dissent over what's going on in Washington. And we need those venues, and we need people to become active in their expressions of dissent. However, I don't see anybody ever congratulating them on when they do something right.
So, that's true.
It's just not as fun, you know. But I do think that there is some merit. Well, one, there needs to be a counterbalance. There certainly is reason to criticize Congress, and we're not discouraging that. We're simply saying that our mission is to do the other, is to shake their hand when they do something right, and hopefully develop a relationship with them that when they do something wrong, they might be more inclined to listen to us, because after all, we have shown our solidarity and our support for them. So if we ever are asked or consulted on the matter, I think we'd be able to at least have their ear.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, one of the things we talk about on the show here is, you know, it's great to come on, and we really appreciate it, people coming on and listening and sharing the link, but go out there and do activism too. You know, we just don't, come on and listen, whether it's, listening to Bard's Logic or listening to Sean Hannity or, Newt Gingrich or watching Fox News. It's great to get the information and then go and complain about it, but, take
right.
that passion, well, as I said a while ago, do something with it.
Yeah, those venues can serve as great motivation and great conduits of information. But I was tweeting today, I mean, let's not confuse watching Fox News or listening to Rush Limbaugh as activism.
Right.
I'm not saying don't do it. Obviously, we need to be equipped with facts. We obviously need to be motivated to act on those facts, but if all we ever do is learn the facts and get highly motivated and never do anything, I don't know what the point is.
Right. It's kind of a little bit of a feel-good, but then you have to actually take that out, off the couch, so to speak.
Yeah, well, it's difficult because most of us, are not so-called political activists. What we
right.
want to do is meet people wherever they're at and say, we will give you a rung on this ladder to reach up to. We're not going to criticize you, and browbeat you for not being active enough. We'll meet you where you're at, and we'll give you a hand up saying, hey, can you – here's the tweet button. Can you click the mouse? Okay. You don't have to wordsmith the tweet. You don't have to, know everything there is to know about Twitter. You can be a Twitter novice. And we will uphold you and uplift you, and we'll help you get more influence on Twitter. We'll help you get more followers. We will expose your timeline to more people. We will retweet you. We will, we're working as a team. That's the
deal. Right. We certainly need more folks to do that. And we mentioned earlier, sooner than, the election, the election season. I might be, hard on folks a little bit, about, going out there, sometimes, but, I know we all have, our busy lives, we've got work, we'd like to relax and things of that nature too, but we're just at such a point in time where it's just so critical for, many, many more people to just go out and get active, even more so than I would say when the Tea Party first came out in 2010.
Well, and I think that if you do a little studying, and I agree with you, we're not paid staff members in the Tea Party movement, but I think we need to observe how organized the other team is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe it, go to uniteblue.com, net, or whatever it is. They are very technologically proficient. They are very well-funded. They are highly motivated, and they are very very well organized, and we are falling, and we're way behind. I was speaking to a consultant here several months ago, and a political consultant who had really had some, she had a nice resume, okay, and her proposed fees reflected that. but I was able to glean some information in our dialogue, even though we weren't able to retain her, at least for the foreseeable future. She observed that Republicans seem to really rally during the, election cycle. And she said, at the end of the election, win or lose, it seems like we break camp and go home and wait for the next election cycle. and this is not what the other side is doing. And she pointed out this deficiency, and I believe her observation is very cogent, and we're trying to help people to become involved in the political, I hate to use the word activist, it almost sounds like, you know, Occupy Wall Street, but, you know, but to become politically engaged,
right.
To take a simple step of tweeting a representative in the U.S. House or Senate. You know, or to retweet someone else who has. You know, we'll find some meaningful place where you can do something that takes you to the next step. And once you become comfortable with that, there's a lot of rungs on that ladder. And we want to help people as high up that ladder as they are willing and able to go.
Right, and what Patriot Bunker put in his grassroots, this kind of mirrors what we were saying, grassroots efforts are difficult to build and even harder to maintain, as you pointed out in your comments there, people just get distracted. I mean, and I understand this. I understand, you know, life gets very busy. And in some ways, you know, I've said this on the show before, you know, I believe that, you know, at least economically, the government's kind of purposely making it so that we've got so much things being thrown at us and we are so busy that we really don't have the time to be able to, and frankly, in a lot of ways, the energy to pay attention with all what they're doing. But to continue with the Patriot Bunker's comments, he says, or she says, but grassroots are what this country was built on, and it's going to be heard from again soon. The GOP has gone sour, and something needs to be done.
Well, I think we experienced that, you know, back in 2012, didn't we? I mean, because we were all together on the Newt bandwagon, and there came a point down that trail where there were only three trails forward. And actually, you and I have different positions on that. And I saw this coming, and I saw the divisiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to find ways. We seek common ground. You don't have to agree on everything. But if we can agree on something, we're actively reaching out, and we're getting some result already, but we're reaching out to other organizations saying, if there's an issue that's important to you, and, you know, if we agree on that issue, let's work on that issue. Let's not worry about the issues we don't agree on. Let's just set them aside. But and we were contacted by a group last week concerned about the stacking of the courts in Washington with nominees that are very favorable to Obamacare. And, you know, it was a last-minute thing, and we did the best we could, and we did okay. But there are two more nominees that will be confirmed in the Senate in the weeks ahead, and so they had relationships with others that we've connected with, and it just works. And we just reach out to any conservative group and say, if there's an issue of national footprint. Now, let me qualify that. There's a lot, there are so many good causes out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't have a national footprint, it's just not a good fit for Patriot Journalist Network because our members are from many, many states, and their followers, of course, are also from many, many states. So I get contacted from time to time, you know, on issues in a certain state. And it's not that that isn't an important issue. And it's not that we don't want to work with you. It's just, to me, as a steward of the permissions that have been given me to our application to retweet, I don't feel that I'm at liberty to cause 2,000 people from who knows how many states to tweet about the important legislative issue in your state. It's not relevant to the vast majority of people that we'll be reaching.
And real quick, Mark, I do see there are folks on the line who'd like to chime in, and we will be opening up the mics to the audience as well. We've only got a couple more questions here before doing so. Go ahead, Mark. Sorry for interrupting. I just wanted to let them know that I did see money too.
Really, I don't feel any sense of obligation to go by the script you've written. If you want to vary from it, it's your microphone, you paid for it. And if other people want to get involved and chime in, I would much rather hear their ideas than my own. I've already talked to myself for the past year about this. So
certainly, I do have a couple more, but we'll go ahead and bring them in. But first, we'll bring in James, who's been on the longest and also one of the panelists here at Bard's Logic. Thank you very much, James, and the founder of Overpasses for Obama's Impeachment, and I believe also Overpasses for America. How are you, James?
I'm doing great, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you very much.
And I'm sorry, I'm terrible with names. I don't have my computer right in front of me, but I've been actually listening with, I'm not sure what the word, the closest thing I can come up with is bated anticipation, really hanging on every word of your guest, because I didn't realize that he was the hashtag PJ Nets originator, and I've retweeted quite a few of the things that you've sent out. And, and you know, of course, you can guess by the name of the movement what our primary goal is, you know, and that is the impeachment of Barack Obama. And I can guarantee you I'll be checking out your website and some of those Twitter tools, because, I mean, I'm learning it, but I need to accelerate that pace. And it sounds like there's quite a few things on there that would be quite useful.
James, I had a question for you, or for somebody who can answer.
Sure.
I have been seeing some tweets to the effect that Congressman Stockman in Texas has actually drawn up articles of impeachment. Now, Congressman Stockman also introduced H. Res. 306, which basically calls for a floor vote on H. Res. 36, which is the Benghazi Select Committee, and if enough people do it, if enough people co-sign it, it avoids the Speaker of the House, which is kind of the bottleneck in the equation right now. Can you confirm anything? And I've actually spoken to some of his staff. Can you confirm, deny, or enlighten me at all on any congressman actually drafting articles of impeachment?
You know, I think I've heard the same sources you have, that he actually has done that. I really think the only thing that's holding them back is Harry Reid and John Boehner. Obviously, with the state of the Senate right now, getting an impeachment done would be, you know,
next to
impossible.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold my breath waiting for that to happen. I mean, those two are, you know, they walk hand in hand in their agenda. And I actually did read something to that effect some time ago, or not a long time ago, but, you know, a bit ago, that he had actually drawn up those articles. But again, it boils down to, you know, well, first off, John Boehner's got to let it go to the floor.
Don't hold your breath on that either.
Right. You know, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, you hate John Boehner. Then he does something just enough to make you go, well, maybe he's not so bad. And then you hate John Boehner again.
Yeah.
He's very, very good at doing the carrot on a stick thing.
Actually, Harry Reid barely won the last election, barely, in a blue state. And Hal Boehner is still our speaker. I'm at a loss to explain that. But
yeah, me too.
I would encourage you that if there is an elected official out there, one of the things that we preach, or that I preach, is, you know, I'm familiar with and empathetic and even sympathetic with the argument that we need to drain the swamp of everybody we got and replace them with some real conservatives. And I don't take issue with that sentiment. I would say this. We don't have that much time. We don't have time. And as a football coach, if the analogy I use is that if I've been brought in to turn a team around, and I go in that team and say, we are going to focus on recruiting and recruiting and recruiting, and I go out and do a great job of recruiting and recruiting and recruiting, I will be fired the second year because I never developed the players I've got on the field, who are clearly defective because I was only hired because the team needed to be turned around. So my take on that is that whatever you're feeling about a congressman, we need some people on the inside to work with. And I certainly, with respect and understanding to the notion that we need to just fire them all and start over. I mean, I get it. I do. But as a matter of strategy, I don't think that's practical.
Well, it's not only not really practical, and really in the sense that, I mean, we can't get them all out at once. You know, it's not like there'd be a clean sweep even if you wanted to, because they're not all up for election at the same time.
Right, and they're not all bad, most of them.
No, and you do have Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Stockman and Lee seems to be doing a decent job, but they all seem to be like focused down in Texas for the most part, and it's kind of
go north a little bit. I really have a great story, but let me just refer you and keep it short. Keep your eye on Jim Bridenstine of Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, the House. Yeah.
That is a good man. He is the only congressman that has ever called me. Not returned my call, called me. We have prayed together on the phone. He's a good man. But you know what? He's in Oklahoma.
We're a big fan of him here in Oklahoma. Yeah. That's where I'm actually at. So.
Okay, real quick, gentlemen, I did tell Dale I have on the line here that I would be opening up his mic, and then we'll continue with your thoughts, but I want to bring him in and see what's on his mind. Thank you very much, Dale, for calling into the show. How are you?
Pretty good.
Great.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my biggest question, I've seen some things. I'm not big on Twitter. I belong to a lot of stuff. I wasn't ever political until just before the 2012 election, my whole life. I'm 54 years old. I've never voted until last year. But regardless, after all the stuff that happened, I started paying attention to a lot of stuff. But my concern right now is what's going on with the Obamacare stuff, and I think a lot of people are starting to wake up. But in response to that, I was wondering what you all had to, what your take was on what happened, or what's proposed to happen in South Carolina regarding the Federalist issue of the noncompliance by states, and what potentially if it happened in succession. You know, that hopefully it can take care of the issue, or if in fact it might be better to let it run its course prior to the 2014 elections, to where there's 150,000 or 150 million bullets pointed at Obama's head before he finally says, yeah, I guess I was wrong. I mean, I don't know, you know.
I wouldn't look for him to say that. I
know.
I'm not that familiar with South Carolina. I do know that they were the first to secede from the United States. I know that. And I'm trying to think of Duncan's name. Yeah, Congressman Duncan in South Carolina. I have a very good relationship with his chief of staff. Now, that's very unusual. Usually you get handed off to the communications director or press secretary. And Congressman Duncan is solid, but the last conversation I had with their office was actually back during the Second Amendment debate following the Sandy Hook massacre. And there are several arms manufacturers in the state of New York, and they were interested in wooing these companies to relocate to the state of South Carolina. And we were helping him based on Second Amendment stuff. So I don't have enough information to comment on your question, but I will say this. The unfortunate fact or the unfortunate reality is I don't believe that Obama, under any circumstances, will ever sign anything on his desk to repeal Obamacare. I think to set that as a goal is, wouldn't we love that if he did? Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, definitely.
It just ain't going to happen. You know? But what we need to work toward is getting a supermajority in the Senate, because I think we can manage the House. I think that Boehner's day, has probably already had his high water mark. Obamacare, Obama is at a historic low in public opinion right now. So I think that the timing could be good to retake the Senate, and we probably won't get a supermajority, but if we can start with a majority and hopefully find some Democrats who will reach across the aisle, because even Democrats are starting to run from Obamacare because of Obamacare.
Well, and last year, I think the average cost of health care out-of-pocket expenses was, whatever, $1,200 or something like that. Now the minimum, excluding your premium payments, is over $5,000. Even the people with the subsidized payments are going to be paying more than this.
Well, I agree with you. Was it Dale or Daryl was your name?
Dale.
By the way, I'm 54 years old. Yes, I did vote, but no, I never became active in conservative politics until 2010. So don't beat yourself
far in front
up.
Of me.
Yeah, I'm just a few steps in front of you. I think that, and I don't have the answer, but I agree with everything that's being said about how bad Obamacare is and needs to be repealed. I wish somebody from the GOP I don't care who the idea comes from, would come up with a market-based alternative, and some have been proposed in very broad language. But, it's a real problem, but I think what you have is a problem of worldviews. The liberal worldview now sees health care as an entitlement, and I don't believe that to be the case. It's not in the enumerated powers of the federal government based on the 10th Amendment to underwrite the health care of its citizens.
Doesn't it underwrite what this country stands for and what we seceded from, and what happened at the Boston Tea Party to start with?
Well, yes, in that sense, you're right. Is in the sense of a tax, this is the largest tax increase in history. But I think we need to shift the worldview to a market-based solution or a charity-based solution. I would argue, go read the book of Acts and the New Testament of the Holy Bible, because they took care of one another in an environment that did not involve the government whatsoever.
Just like the Amish.
Well, that may be another good model. I'm not familiar with it. But I think there are ways to care for our, infirm and indigent. But I don't think – we'll put it this way. The liberals are very, very benevolent with other people's money.
Oh, yeah.
and then I want to bring James in the conversation. So after here, James, go ahead and chime in. Is also, I think, I like market-based, of course, but also like, the charity-based as well. But what the government's trying to do, especially the liberals in the government, want to replace people instead of relying on those charities like they used to start relying more on the government. What that's doing is just building a constituency of dependents based, on the government instead of on, the citizens of the country, of the, of charities and things of that nature. I mean, there's even talk, I don't know if they're talked lately, but of actually getting rid of the charitable contributions, tax credits, things of that nature. I know Obama's talked about getting rid of those, of course. and most people, when they do donate to charities, I shouldn't think they would, take the tax benefits in account to do it, and that shouldn't be the reason why they do donate. But a lot of your larger donors, they really take that into consideration, and if that's gone, that's really going to hurt charities. Oh. Of course, if people can't go to the charities, who do they have to go to? And that would
it honestly would not bother me if they, quote, took away the tax deductibility of a charitable donation, and here's why. First of all, I'm sure that does influence the amount given. No doubt about it. Okay, you can clearly give more when you know that that's a tax deduction. But I know this, and I know this. I'm convinced that clause has been used to silence the First Amendment rights of virtually every church in this country.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. So, So when you look at, when you put both of those on the scales, I, first of all, Patriot Journalist Network is the host corporation, is By His Grace Ministries. That is a Florida for-profit corporation, and there's a reason it's for profit. There's numerous reasons. One is there's nothing wrong with profit, and we need to quit apologizing for seeking to make a profit. That is the way wealth is redistributed. Number two is when you're a 501c3, suddenly your house is made out of glass.
Yep.
And the amount of time it takes to account for and make public and file and do this, it's very, very burdensome. At Patriot Journalist Network, we say, here is what we're doing. Now, if you agree with what we're doing, you know, we certainly need your financial assistance. But no, it's not tax deductible. In fact, it's a for-profit corporation.
And actually, folks, you could go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk gift page by going to www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And towards the top of the gift page, you can find a link to the donation page of the Patriot Journalist.
That would be great.
Oh, it's already up there. It's already on the website.
Wow. Thank you so much. We appreciate all the help.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, James, I do want to bring you in. So if there's anything you want to comment on what you've heard thus far, go ahead.
Well, I was just sitting there listening to, you know, what you were saying about the charity-based and market-based approaches. And, you know, in direct regards to Obamacare, and that's the fact that, you know, I actually just learned this over the last few days, that the government currently pays Catholic hospitals, Catholic-owned and operated hospitals, some sort of federal subsidy to, you know, to assist in operating their hospitals. Now, the reason they do this is on a market-based idea, and that's the fact that the Catholic churches can actually run them for less than what another hospital, you know, would operate under. Mm-hmm. And then you throw in the contraceptive, the, you know, and the abortion issue, and the Catholic hospitals are going, well, we're not going to do that. And then it's almost as if, due to Obamacare, the government is cutting off their nose to spite their face. And even though they can get a more efficiently operated hospital out of a Catholic hospital, they're saying, well, if you don't follow the mandates of Obamacare, then we're going to discontinue your funding.
We're going to pull the plug. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, what was your name again?
James Neighbors.
Oh, James. Oh, okay. Oh, sorry about that. Served on a board of a 501c3, and there was a faith-based initiative. This was a pro-life ministry, but there were some faith-based initiative in you know, cooperating with the state of Florida, and we would be funded for some of the things that we were already doing. And we looked at it, and honestly, James, there were so many strings attached. You know, that they wanted us to keep a log of the amount of time we spend in what we consider peer counseling, which is really sharing the gospel with them, because we believe the problem with unplanned pregnancies is deviation from the scriptural, you know, model of marriage. And so there's so many strings attached. We had to keep a log. So we ultimately, as a board, decided to simply decline the money because we didn't want the government holding us in account for what we do in order to get some amount of money, you know. So it's a tough call, but that's what we decided to do. And I think we need to resist this insidious cancer of the tentacles of the government reaching even into faith-based initiatives, you know, and they're dangling that carrot of grant money.
Right.
Well, and you know, they do it really, I mean, you know, insidious is an ideal word for that. I mean, you know, Common Core is another example of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they dangle that carrot of money to the states. You know, every state can opt out of it, but at the cost of losing federal money for their Department of Education. And that should, I don't know how you would limit the ability of the federal government to be able to dangle that carrot for X. You know, you get, we'll give you Y, but you have to accept X. But I think it's pretty, I think we'd probably be in agreement that there's got to be a reduction in government regulations and their ability just to manufacture them at will.
James, I sincerely believe on not only the Common Core topic, but I sincerely believe if we would take, you know, the 10th Amendment of the Constitution and get the government back within those boundaries, I think the budget would be balanced overnight. And I don't think that the government is constitutionally empowered to even have a Department of Education.
No, I'd be in agreement with you there. You know, we've got a long road ahead, and you know, that's one thing. You know, when I started, Robert, you know, reflects on both names. We started out as Obama overpasses for Obama's impeachment with a singular goal. And then as I did more research, I was like, well, you know, I knew we had a problem, but holy cow, I didn't realize just how deep the problem, you know, I jumped into the rabbit hole and found out how deep it was. And we've got a lot of digging to do to get this country right again and back under constitutional law.
And we don't want to discourage people, but at the same time, we need to observe that this liberal march began at the turn of the 20th century in the early 1900s, and the liberals have been very, very patient and been willing to take incremental gains along the way, and here we are today. Now, as much as I would like to wake up tomorrow morning and be free of all that, it's unreasonable to believe that. So there's so many of us that are so frustrated, we want. And I'm going to use another football analogy, okay, because I'm a football coach. As a coach, I would love to call a long bomb Hail Mary pass on every single play and run the score up. I really would. But if, as a coach, I call that play every play, I will cause my team to lose. We need to have a solid ground game. We need to get a first down. We need to quit fumbling the football. We're going to have to understand it's going to take decades to turn this mess around for our children and our grandchildren.
Oh, you're absolutely right, you know, and that's one thing that, you know, I have to express to the people within the movement, you know, because like I said, we changed the name. It's officially, you know, Overpasses for America now. In fact, we just today got word back from the Secretary of State here in Oklahoma that our 527 application was accepted. And, you know, and so now we're official. We're official, you know, yay, you know. but I have to express them. They're like, well, why haven't they impeached him already? And I'm like, you know, I wish they'd impeached him last week. But, you know, we've got to be in this for the long haul. If you're going to be impatient, you're going to burn out. Because we've got to, you know, it's the analogy I like to use is it's like cutting out a redwood with a hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
It'll happen. But you're going to take a lot of swings at it, and it's going to take chip by chip by chip, because the tree that we're trying to cut down right now is very tall and has got a very thick trunk, and it's going to take a lot of chipping away with that hatchet to get it knocked back down, you know, to get it knocked down. And
great analogy.
You know,
great analogy.
I expect that I will be at this for the rest of my life, to be honest, and I still won't be finished when I take my last breath.
Amen.
Go ahead, Dale.
I just said amen.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I mean, I agree. I mean, this is something that it took centuries to build, and you just got to know what your manual is, what you need to do at that point.
I also
am totally against the issue of the 501c3, I agree with that, because that puts politics into an issue that is a religious aspect. And, hey, I used to tithe, you know, 300 or plus every week to my church, but that was out of my heart. I didn't take that off my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but that was for lots of years.
Yeah, there are
also
some theological implications if you are giving to a church and your motivation is to reduce your taxes, are some theological questions.
Then that takes away from the whole purpose of
hilarious
God. I mean,
giver is what is called for in the book of Malachi.
Right, and if you're only giving to God so you can get a tax write-off, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. So you might as well keep your fucking money. Excuse my French.
Whoa! We don't use that word here. Sorry, Dale.
I know. I'm sorry. I mean,
okay.
I know.
I do want to.
I know. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, for what it's worth, I didn't even understand what you said. So,
Bomb I'll drop. Don't rewind, folks. In the archives here.
Don't worry. But all I'm saying is that basically it takes away from the whole purpose. You know, I mean, just keep it. I mean, if all you're using your 501c3 for is for a tax write-off in God's name, that didn't help anybody. It don't help you in His eyes.
Yeah.
So
God's got plenty of money.
Right. I mean, He don't need any more.
He don't need it.
I mean,
real quick, it's the top of the hour, so we do want to say to folks who are listening in or in chat, listening from other venues to the show, if you'd like to call in and chime in, just call 347. It's okay. Call in at 347-945-7428. That's 347-945-7428. We've got another hour left of the live show. We may go to extended version, maybe not. If we do, it won't be long because, unfortunately, I got a lot of work to do before going to bed tonight. But we'll see how long I can last. But anyway, thank you very much, gentlemen, for letting me interrupt. And go ahead, Dale.
My main question that tonight was about the South Carolina issue on federalism with what they were. What South Carolina is basically doing by stopping and gutting Obamacare from the inside out via state versus a federal issue, because the state's rights. That was my question.
Yeah, Dale, I'm not knowledgeable enough of that one to comment specifically, so I'll only offer some comments in general. I don't think using the state as the mechanism is going to work. We've already fought that war, and if you'll recall, we lost. At the end of the day, the federal government does trump the states. This is a federal law, and for states to not, we literally fought that war and lost. I do think that the strategy going forward, unfortunately, is going to take longer. Is going to be to weaken Obamacare legislatively through funding or whatever as much as possible. But ultimately, repeal, I think, is the only way to undo this. And to do that, we need a supermajority in the Senate.
Well, definitely. I mean,
the House has already voted 42 times to repeal it.
I would
go ahead and support the 43rd bill to repeal it. But come on, guys, let's get real. We got to win the Senate.
I think after November 2014, and I really do feel confident that the Senate will come into the hands of Republicans, just because of the distaste that Obamacare has put across America. I actually feel more confident about it this year than I think I ever have as far as them winning it, just because of such a monumental blunder that Obamacare has been, and just what the American people are starting to experience with it already, and it hasn't even really been, they haven't even experienced it yet. I think once we can reduce Harry Reid to simply Senator Reid and no longer Senate Majority mm-hmm. Leader Reid, I believe once we remove that title from him, I think we will see a lot of Democrats, if for no other reason but self-preservation, turning on Obamacare. And my hope is turning on Obama and actually agreeing to impeach him.
Well, and I don't disagree with that scenario, but I would also add, as a strategy, we need to make it easy for them to do it and save face. Because more of them will do it and more will be likely to do it if you provide them with a way to come across that aisle where they want to, if you challenge them to, if you try to humiliate them, you're not going to get as many. So we need to be inviting. We need to be warm. That doesn't mean we need to compromise or capitulate, but we need to make it easier for them to walk across that aisle because we need their help.
Well, absolutely. I mean, after Reagan was elected, you know, I was a teenager when he came into office, and when he was elected, you know, of course, we all remember maybe not all of us here remember the Carter years, and it was very liberal and disastrous, you know, 4 years that he was in office. And, you know, after Reagan was in, of course, liberal became, you know, the pox to anybody running, you know, the term liberal became a pox to anybody running for office, especially in the term tax and spend. If you were labeled as that, it was pretty much over for you if you were a Democrat. And I think that, you know, obviously, you know, we're not going to turn over every senator in 2014. We understand this. And I think that if we can get Boehner out of the Senate Majority Leader's position, and then
Boehner's the House Speaker.
I meant Reid. And extend that opportunity to Democrats, I think we might actually begin to see a return of heaven forbid, the return of the conservative Democrat.
Because it's possible. I'm from the South, and actually I grew up with what turned out to be a liberal Democrat congressman. I worked on his farm. His mother was my sixth grade homeroom teacher, but there was a day when a Democrat wasn't perceived as such a liberal, moron. It was just a tradition, particularly here in the South, and we were Democrats. There was not a negative connotation to that. But, in fact, I know a state senator who is a staunch conservative, registered Democrat.
Well, and you know, that's actually not an uncommon thing here in Oklahoma. You know, it's kind of funny. It's the, you know, we have, of course, you know, we're looking at the state that not a single county carried Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And so every politician here is going to be a little bit more conservative leaning, especially, say, someplace like, I don't know, California. You know, and it's interesting because we vote locally Democrat because they're conservative Democrats, and then vote nationally Republican for, you know, generally the most conservative Republican we can find. And, but, you know, I do think you're absolutely right, though. You've got to find a way for them to be able to save face. I mean, because anybody, I think the easiest way for them to do that would be just to admit possibly making a mistake, because let's face it, the American people are extraordinarily forgiving. You know, and if they could say, look, you know, I trusted my peers and voted for it, and it was a mistake.
Oh, there's a lot of ways to do that with Obamacare. You can say the ideals that are espoused and the intent of Obamacare is meritorious and worthwhile, but the implementation is not possible. We've got to find new ways to take care of our infirm. It's not hard to, you know, put it this way. Republicans ought to be good at it, because that's what we've been living on for the past 20 years, is save face. Well, this is a good first step. How many times have you heard that? This is a good first step. You know, this is a step in the right direction. Oh, baloney. You know, that's concessions. That's the consolation prize, and consolation, you know, remarks are only made by losers.
Yeah,
so
they,
we got to find a way to do
it. If they win the elections, don't they, the Democrats?
Right, they win the election, and we wind up saying, "Well, this is a good first. We need to be bipartisan and take this step toward, you know, the goals we, you know, oh yeah, right, yeah." So we need to be able to give them, you know, we need to program their teleprompters with a good message saying that they believe in the idea. And actually, I think conservatives do too. I certainly do. I want to take care. We are biblically charged with caring for one another. So I'm not opposed to that. I'm just concerned about the mechanism of the federal government being the way to do it.
Well, exactly, exactly. I mean, you know, the fact is the free market is what made America what it is today. And you know, you can go back to the Federalist Papers, and I don't recall any quotes right off the top of my head, but they were very, very free market orientated people. And, you know, because you reap the seeds that you sowed, as it were. And, you know, I would challenge really anybody to point out one government program that actually worked out like it was intended.
The U.S. military would be my one program, and I think one reason that it is successful is that it is constitutionally charged.
Well, there you go. There you go. You know, but you... You know, you look at, I mean, even Social Security. I mean, it great, great idea. And, you know, it's becoming kind of ingrained in American society, and getting rid of it would be very difficult at best. And, you know, we certainly shouldn't let our elderly, you know, fall by the wayside and be homeless on the streets. But it could be managed so much better. It could be managed so much better. And you know, we've got to look at common sense market approaches and things like that that actually make sense, and this is really, I think, the key to it, that don't involve crony capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, I'm not being a political science major, or an economics major, I'm not exactly certain how to go about doing that, but there are people out there that do.
Well, you know, there has been the idea thrown around of privatizing Social Security, and I believe if they don't do something like that, then, I mean, by the time I retire, I mean, when I do my, you know, financial planning, things of that nature, and for those I talk to about financial planning, I say I wouldn't even take into account that Social Security even be there, because you have the government that's continually, you know, it goes to the general fund, so they're continually robbing you know, from it in order to pay for, you know, other things. And I don't think it'll be. It used to be like 6-to-1 ratio, 6 people paying for one person. Now I believe it's the 3, and soon it's going to be 2-to-1 if it's not there already.
I'm drinking water. I'm like Mark Rubio.
Yeah, I'm
sorry.
I caught the reference.
Well, real quick, I do have one more question that I had that I want to get tonight, and it was about social media and the internet, and we all know it has had an increased role in providing information to the grassroots concerning many issues and topics, including government and politics. And this could be a question for both the gentlemen. Now, what place do you see, and this would be specifically for you, Mark, the Patriot Journalist Network having in the future in the alternative media? And do you see it becoming a more mainstream eventually, taking over the types of media most folks get their news from today?
I live and breathe every moment working toward that. The newest product, for lack of a better word, that we have is called Red Meat. And this is actually just a mutation, an evolution of something, Robert, that you and I are very familiar with called video chat. But mm-hmm. We have honed this and made it into a machine. This is not only a interpersonal relationship team-building machine, this is not only an information machine, a mass media machine, it is a tweet engine from hell. We only started this October the 28th, and I am just wetting my pants with what we've been able to do thus far with just a handful of people. And if you're not familiar with Red Meat, it's basically there's three components. There's a portal there, a viewport that is YouTube videos. So it has great potential to disseminate information for anybody that comes there. There's humor, there's entertainment, there's politics, it's a television station, okay? Then we also have prefabricated tweet buttons, which are actual tweets that have been harvested and nominated for inclusion as a featured tweet. So we've got some tweet buttons up there that make it real easy to just click the button and tweet that message so that we get a consistent message, and it is very uplifting to the person who did that tweet. We have events where we tweet those and we retweet others who have tweeted, and we have been able to generate thousands and thousands and thousands of tweets per hour with just a handful of people. Now, that's a backdrop. Your question was, do you see this moving toward a mass media? Absolutely. We've already got the plans in place. We just need the money to make this a 24/7 grassroots operated television station that would make Fox News look liberal. We don't need, you know, we look to the Mark Levins and the Rush Limbaughs and the Fox Newses, and I'm not opposed to them whatsoever. But I want to enable us, you, me, and millions of others, grassroots citizens, to act. You know, I'm sorry, watching Fox News is not participating in the political process. Why can't we do this? Well, the fact is we can. And the technology, the opportunity has been afforded by the advancement of technology, and we're putting that technology together in such a way that you, as a grassroots citizen who only started voting last, you know, election cycle, can step up and be a part of. There's a meaningful place for everybody in this organization. So, yes, and come visit, and we'll be glad to show you some of the commercials of what we intend to do. And it's just a matter of time and money.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings me to a question that I got sidetracked on early on when I first came on was, you know, for to be, I guess, a full-blown member of you know, PJNet or, you know, of is there a fee?
No.
Well,
the fee is... Well, not a monetary fee. No, there's not. We operate on donations. But the fee is you have to give permission to the Patriot Journalist application to tweet and or retweet on your behalf. Even if you're not online, we don't check with you. You know, and what we generally retweet is a conservative tweet by an elected official, and we generally tweet promotional stuff for PJNet itself, such as the red meat. Live events. So you will wake up one morning and you'll notice, gee, I retweeted that. I was asleep last night. How did that happen? Well, you gave permission to the app to do that, and you're basically putting it in my discretion to tweet for you. Now, in doing so, I don't know your username or password. You're simply giving the app permission to retweet or tweet on your behalf. So we typically use it to retweet. For example, we were talking on this Obamacare judges thing. Senator Grassley is the ranking member of the Judicial Committee. Now, I've had some conversations with his press secretary, but the trick is to get Senator Grassley to say, hey, come join me, and we actually have the ability to broadcast live in this event. So, you know, so one of the things I can say is, look, if he'll do the kickoff tweet for this event, I'll see to it that he gets, you know, 1,800 retweets from my membership. You know, that really, really, really gets their attention. It really does, because they've never been retweeted 1,800 times in their total Twitter experience. So
now
that
brings me to one other question is, how often do you think that our representatives actually check their Twitter account?
First of all, of the offices that I'm working with, only two of them actually do their own tweeting. And actually, Senator Grassley is one of them, and Congressman Chavez is the other. The rest of them, that Twitter account is in the hands of their press secretary, communications director, or some similar title. Then it goes to the chief of staff, and then it goes ultimately to the elected official. But the elected official is distant from their own Twitter account.
Well, sure, and that's to be understandable. They're, you know, they should be busy. So,
yeah. Well,
you know, and so that's understandable. Now, you know, I was just curious. I mean, at least it's getting to their staff, you know, and because, you know, I mean, everybody knows when you pick up the phone and you call their office, you're not going to call Ted Cruz's office and the phone's going to pick up and say, hi, this is Ted Cruz, because that's just not going to happen. We understand that. But but as long as it, I mean, hey, if it ever did, I'm not sure I'd be able, you know, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, I was pretty floored.
Like, well, I'm actually talking to Ted Cruz.
Yeah, you know, and so, you know, that's to be expected. But, I mean, really, as long as it's getting to their staff, and this is really where the key, I think, with Twitter and any other social media, if it's getting to their staff and it gets to them in enough numbers, they're going to pay attention to it.
Well, but to do that requires teamwork and unity and a unified message that is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I look, I'm a Twitter junkie, okay? I watch it all day and all night. And I see a lot of people tweeting, and hey, I'm all for it. But let me tell you something. You're tweeting into thin air. Now, when we get a bunch of people together and say, okay, now, on Tuesday night, we're all going to come to this place. The tweets are right there for you, and we're all going to tweet this between, you know, 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. We do this for Benghazi. And we get everybody lined up. Let me say it this way. An analogy I use. If your car is stuck in a ditch and someone comes along to push it out and they can't, and then 10 minutes later someone else comes along, they can't either, and 10 people come along, none of them could push the car out. But I guarantee you if three of them came along at the same time, the car would come out of that ditch very easily. So a lot of this is just strategy and organization. It's not what you do, it's how you do it and when you do it and who you do it with.
Right.
And how many? And we have, believe me, we are very keen on leveraging, okay? We don't ask you to just come here and tweet. We say tweet and everybody here is going to retweet you. Oh, now that felt real good. Well, I'll tell you what, you got to ride the wagon. Now how about pull the wagon? You go retweet others who have tweeted. And when you do that, instead of having five people tweeting, you've got 25, and then you've got 125, and then you've got 520. It snowballs with unbelievable arithmetic precision.
Well, I think I know a group of people that would be right in on you with the Benghazi tweets.
Well, come to the Red Meat chat room on Tuesday and Friday evenings from 9 to 11 Eastern, and we would welcome them.
Okay, I will definitely let them know. I will definitely let them know. I mean, I'm certain at least some of their members have seen your hashtag, but, you know, well, just like until tonight, I wasn't very familiar, you know, with your organization. Well, now I am, you know, and
I'm a scientist, so I actually pay attention to metrics. I'm going to put, I don't know if you're logged into the chat room or not. But,
no, not at the moment. Not at the moment. I have to go to the quiet room.
Yeah. I'm gonna put a link to the graph of the Justice for Benghazi 4 hashtag in the chat. And the default view is only 1 week, but you can change that to 1 month. It would blow your mind what a handful of people can do on Twitter when you get organized and use some strategy.
Can I ask you to tweet me? I don't use Twitter, so I'm really kind of novice pretty much. I don't really understand it much, and I've tried, but I definitely want to listen.
Okay.
Cool. Oh, yeah, it's a whole new universe for me. I just now started getting into it, but you know, even with the tweets that I send out that get retweeted, I mean, I know I can, I, you know, when they start getting sent out there by, you know, who knows how many people. I mean, you know, some of the stuff I put out gets retweeted by quite a few people. Certainly probably not in the numbers that you're getting. But I can actually notice a tangible effect in the activity, you know, within my movement and or at least a feel. It's like it creates a feel even, you know, with people that aren't saying that they're out there tweeting.
Well, there's a lot of strategy, and I do not proclaim to be, you know, the Twitter expert. I think anybody that claims to be is probably exaggerating at best, lying at worst. But I've certainly learned a lot, and I've made a lot of mistakes, and I certainly wish I would have had a coach to help me rather than learn by doing and trial and error. And we often hold Twitter boot camps. In fact, if you go to the Red Meat chat room right now, the video that will start playing is a Twitter tutorial that was furnished by one of our grassroots participants. Made the tutorial, and it just tells you here's what to do. And you don't need to know everything, okay? Just that's why we're on a team here, and we want to elevate each other. You can go in and nominate a tweet. All of our tweets are nominated by grassroots people. You can nominate your own tweet. It's anonymous. I have no idea who nominates a tweet that gets featured. Not all of them get featured, but that's the pool we look at to pull out tweets to feature. And those things are going to get tweeted hundreds and hundreds of times and retweeted in the thousands.
Mm-hmm. Hey, excuse me, because my phone went dead a little
bit. Yeah, it happened when I was there the other night. Go ahead, Dale.
What was this called? Red Meat Tweet or chat?
Just go to patriotjournalist.com. That's all you need to know. Go to patriotjournalist.com, and you'll see the navigational buttons on the left. One of them says Red Meat. And just follow the links until you get there. Robert, you were there the other night. You had no idea. What was your impression?
Oh, it was incredible. You know, it was fascinating seeing those numbers just scroll out when people are tweeting them.
Okay.
I got a problem. Increasing.
It said that. Patriot Journal, the site wasn't found.
Yeah, patriotjournalist.com. It's there. I'm on it.
Used it. I know, but I was trying to pull it up on my search bar, but I was on Facebook, so.
Yeah, don't look for it in Facebook.
Or I tried to look for it on Twitter, so. Patriot Journalist Network.
Just go to HTTP. /. I just put it in the chat if you're in the chat.
Yeah.
PatriotJournalist.com. It's a website.
Well, I can promise you I will be checking it out just as soon as we're done on the show here because
Dale,
let James finish his comment and then go ahead. Go ahead, James.
No, I was just complimenting him on piquing my curiosity about the Patriots Journalist Network. I mean, because as soon as we're done here, I'm heading straight to my computer to check it out.
And Robert, you were asking the future. It really isn't the future. It was designed in from the beginning. We're going to become Patriot Journalists. Okay, the mainstream media is no longer. We're not going to rely on them. We're not going to, tip our hat to them. We're taking over here. They're not going to do it right. At the end of the day, they're driven by advertising revenues. And they're going to report and sensationalize those things that create viewers and listeners. No, we are going to be citizen-driven. We're going to be grassroots-driven. We are going to enable ourselves because no one else is going to do it for us. Let's quit looking for a messiah. Look in the mirror.
Yeah, well, I signed in, I think, but you all know if I didn't, but do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, but I wasn't sure because my phone went dead a while ago, and I lost everybody, but my phone was dead. So, and so I went in as the horseman, so I think, is it Patriots Journalist Network, correct?
PatriotJournalist.com.
Yeah, go to www.patriotjournalist.com.
Okay, well, I didn't have to do the www. It just came out.
You don't have to.
No. Okay. So, I guess I'm signed in. So does that mean I'm a member or what do I got to do?
No, you don't have to be a member to join in the Red Meat events.
Yeah, well, I don't know where to find that either.
If you're on the PatriotJournalist.com website, over on the left, there's buttons that you can click. One of them says Red Meat.
I ain't seen that one yet.
Well, you might not be on our website. You might be on some other.
That's why I wanted to make sure I was on the right place.
You know, you did touch on something just a second ago. Where you said, and it's just a phrase I tell myself, at least once a week, and it's kind of the mantra that got me to start, Overpass for America. And you can't look for Messiah. You can't wait for that magical person to show up and save the day. There is no underdog. There is no Superman. If you want to see to enact change in this world, you've just got to do it yourself. You can't. People cannot keep waiting for that. You know, do something positive. It doesn't matter how small it is. If 317 million people all did something positive for America today, it would change the entire face of the country.
Exactly.
You're right. I would say your small act in concert with other people doing the same thing. You know, we put a man on the moon, and you look at that space rocket and say, what a complex machine that is. No, it's not. It's actually a collection of much smaller, simpler machines all put together with a purpose and working together in that purpose. It's not – no part of that Apollo rocket was brilliant. Okay? It was very simple.
That's also in the Constitution, isn't it? Isn't it?
Which article
where
is that?
I'm saying where the people, and not just the House of Representatives, but the people in general, when, in fact, you end up in a tyranny, but that's basically, it's constitutional for if one person says something, which is what happened, and everybody knows that, and takes over all three phases of government.
Well, I think what inspired the Reagan Revolution was that he was a man who was able to make you believe in yourself.
Exactly.
And that's, and that's a worldview that, he held, saying, no, the wisdom factory is not in Washington, D.C. It's it's around the dinner table of millions of households throughout this country, that Washington has no monopoly on anything but buffoonery and chicanery and corruption and theft. The greatness of America is in the heart of its people, and this is the spirit that we want to proceed forward in a grassroots fashion, saying we own this place. This is our country. Now, in order to organize our country and in order to establish policy, we're going to have government, and that government should, and we have a constitution, we have founding fathers that believed what we believe, so let's just do it. But we've got a lot of damage that's been done in the meantime. So Patriot Journalist is literally about patriots becoming journalists.
So one of the things we've always touted here on the show is to go out and get your own information. Don't, always rely on, the so-called conservative medias or things that you hear on some of the other radio shows as well, because as Mark pointed out, a lot of them are just, entertainment and for ratings, not necessarily the true conservative, perspective.
Dialogue, Robert. I'm big on the use of the word authoritative. The things that we feature on the Patriot Journalist Network are authoritative. If you want to know what a certain congressman or senator believes on a subject, well, go to our blog showcase or our video showcase and see their YouTube video. But no, that's not what we do. We watch Fox News, and I really like Brett Hume. I really do, and I agree with him most of the time. But why on earth would I listen to Brett Hume say what Congressman so-and-so said and what he meant by what he said?
Right.
I got an idea. Why don't I listen to what Congressman so-and-so said and let me figure it out? I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I love Mike Huckabee, but I don't depend on – he is not an authoritative source on any topic. He's not an elected official. The elected officials pass our laws, not Mike Huckabee, not Mark Levin, not Glenn Beck. So I think we better get ourselves plugged into authoritative information, quit reading blogs, not quit, but when you read a blog, understand what you're reading. You're reading, this is a talking
opinion.
Head on a topic. It's an opinion.
Right.
And you may agree with the opinion, but, I go to church and listen to a preacher that I really trust, but I take my Bible. And there's a reason.
Real quick, gentlemen, I do want to bring in hold on, James. Sorry about that, but I do want to bring in Cindy Todd. Thank you very much, Cindy, for calling into the show, one of our other panelists here. How are you?
Sorry,
Cindy,
I was muted.
There you go. All right.
Sorry, I was muted. It takes me a minute. I pulled a James trick.
Yes.
Good to hear from you, James.
Yeah, how are you? How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. And, Mark, glad to have you on the show. I don't know if you remember me. I used to call in your show after Sammy's show sometimes.
I remember the good days, Cindy. Those were some great times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let me just give you my 2 cents real quick, and then I'll let y'all continue, and you can maybe tell me what you think about this. But Robert knows this. I'm on our Volusia County Soil and Water Conservation Board, and when we were in the middle of our discussions today in a meeting, and you know, we started talking about the stuff that Agenda 21 has been doing, you know, taking, just stealing away all the legitimate conservation activities that we ought to be doing, and just using them for their purposes, and then they turn around and just almost do the opposite too later on. But anyway, we got to thinking about the agenda of Plower and Pivens to inundate the population with so many controversial issues all at once.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't really know which way to turn and which one to hit first. It's hard to find out what our priorities are and spend time on this and spend time on that. And I got to thinking, what we really need to do is remember that picture in the background, what their big goal is a one-world government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All these other things are just symptoms of, or it's just indications of what they're doing to that end, to get us into a one-world government. All of them are just decoys to get us thinking about other things.
It's more than that, Cindy. I don't disagree with that, but, you know, I think it's more. Have you ever noticed that everything's a dadgum emergency, the fiscal cliff?
Yeah.
Okay? And as long as they can keep us in panic, we're easier to manipulate. But everything's a dang emergency. Now, how long have they known that the government's going to go broke?
After they ran out of money the first time.
And then we get to the last minute, and then all of a sudden we're supposed to cut a deal, you know, a bipartisan
mm-hmm.
first step thing. No, why don't we fix it? Yeah, the bailout. Everything's an emergency.
But they're too big to fail.
Yeah, everything's an emergency, and that keeps us in a state of panic, and it makes us much easier to marshal for whatever their agenda really is.
Which is to put us, to basically
subjugate
annihilate
us.
Constitution and subjugate us and take away our sovereignty as a nation and move us into a one world order. And in order to do that, you need to bring America down. You cannot take a strong America and
mm-hmm.
force it into this weak third world and second world and industrializing world that can't sustain itself the way it is, okay, without our money. So you've got to take our money, spread it throughout the world. Okay, now you have everybody on the same playing field. Everybody's poor mm-hmm. except the people at the top. Now, we talked about this last week, that the richest man in the world just a couple years ago was a Chinese guy. Okay, how does that happen? If communism means that the people own everything, how is it that one guy is a 100 billionaire? Okay, how does that happen? Well, it happens because the one world order is dictated by a group of a few people, a few individuals who are extremely wealthy and extremely powerful, and they're using all the people right below them to get what they want. And they're using, you look at all the celebrities that are in their vault, in their game, okay? Mm. They're just using them. When these celebrities figure out what's going to happen to them in this new world order, I don't think they're really going to like it very much.
Well, I think what it boils down to is 21st century feudalism and all of these celebrities are the court jesters. They just haven't figured it out yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, they're
and
being
you,
played.
You look at movie actors in Russia, movie actors in China. Are they extremely rich? Are they living the life that these Hollywood actresses and actors are living? Nope. And there's not very many of them either. And everything is controlled.
Into why is it that we have such a reverence for these Hollywood celebrities or any other celebrity for that matter? Because the truth is, there's a story, I'm in Tallahassee, Florida. There's a little tiny town north of here, Albany, Georgia. In that little tiny town is a little church. And in that little church was a guy that had some production experience. And that little church decided to make a movie. And they did, with a $20,000 budget. The name of the movie is Flywheel. Later on, they decided it did so well, they made another one. And that was called Remember the Giants. And then, but they've made four movies now. And, you know, but the fact is somebody had a vision. And that's what we want to do is we want to enable. We've got patriots that have joined with us that have literally made promotional videos for the show, and they look very good. Some of them look pretty darn grassrootsy, hokey, too. You know what? But we use them all. So I'm tired. And if we're so broke, why is Hollywood every week it's a new record at the box office? I don't have enough money to go to a movie. I can't afford to go to a movie. We need to take matters into our hands and quit looking up to all these gods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we've made out of them. We've made them gods.
Yeah, and then they make all this, you know, I was watching Stossel the other night, you know, a little bit of it. It's all about you have all these Hollywood folks who are actually, you know, benefiting from and getting rich by capitalism and then turns around and blasts capitalism. I mean,
they despise the system that made them rich. Yeah,
That's always confused me. It's like, why would rich people want higher taxes?
Yeah,
it just seems a bit counterproductive.
Well, I'll tell you, actually, there is a reason. There is nothing prohibiting these rich people from giving away their money now, but the agenda is this: liberals are very benevolent with other people's money that's been confiscated.
Yep.
But when you
I like that movie that Danny DeVito made called Other People's Money for that purpose alone. Mm-hmm. It's called Greed. And that's what runs the world system, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's why all going to have to be subjugated because we're going to be their slaves, their feudal slaves, just as you mentioned before, and we're going to make all their money for them.
But people don't realize is you can't take it with you when you hit that box.
Nope. But also, you're going to find it when they get to that point, you're going to find it difficult just to make ends meet, just to feed your family. And heck with insurance. You're not going to have any insurance. I'm sorry, but Obamacare is a farce. There is not going to be. They're going to completely annihilate our health system and our insurance system. You're not going to have any insurance. You're not going to have a car to insure. You know, you're going to be living in some corridor of high-rise apartment buildings. You're going to ride a subway or a train or some sort of a public transit device to get to and from wherever you absolutely needed to go. And probably because you're so poor, you're only going to go to work and home again. That's how it's going to be. And people are, you try to say that to my cousin, who's a Democrat, and he just laughs in your face. Well, I got news. We're going to have the last laugh, but it's not going to be a really good laugh. It's not going to be a fun laugh to have.
Two words.
Tea Party did it.
Soviet Union. If you want to see what we're headed for, Soviet Union. It's not a pretty sight.
Right. That's right.
Exactly. Not a pretty picture. And we're getting there via Clower and Piven.
Well, and also, you know, I mean, you know, and we've made this analogy, you know, a lot here on the show is, you know, we talk about where the president
kind of becoming back to becoming the king of the country, where you have the politicians, you know, being the oligarchy or the aristocracy. And then, of course, you know, what does that leave, you know, the citizens of the country? And that leaves us as their serfs. No longer is it that the representatives are to serve us, we the people. Now it's coming to the fore where it's we the people serving them.
And the politicians are only the jesters in the old time. Correct? I mean, they're the comedians to entertain their choice.
Well, most of the politicians are being used just like we're being used, just like movie stars are being used, just like, you know, the Koch brothers are being used. Well, they might be part of the users. But anyway, those people are being used. All those people are being used, and they don't even know it because they think we're all a bunch of conspiracy theorists and that there is no worldwide Illuminati plan and strategy to take over the world. You know, this is not Pinky in the Brain. What we need to do in our realm of blog talk and internet access, tweeting, whatever we're doing to try to put in our two cents worth, or to get something to happen, to get something changed, to get people awaken. You need to take the overall goal, which is the one world order, the destroying of the sovereignty of the United States in order to get there. That needs to be your main focus. And then you take all these other little side issues and you show how they tie in with that one world order goal. You need to show how health care ties in with that. You need to show how his support of Islamic Brotherhood type crazy radicals, how does that fit in with the one world order? What's he doing? How's he using it? And by the way, more and more every day, people are saying, and putting out, I am too. I'm posting all the time stuff that Obama's doing to support Muslims, okay? And it looks more and more like he is a Muslim, right? Well, I'm kind of like, I'm agreeing with Dinesh D'Souza. I don't think he's either. I don't think he's Christian, Muslim, or anything. I think he's a communist atheist who is bent on one world order in the communist fashion, okay, that order being under communism. And I think that he's using any religion he has to in order to come to that that means is to get to his end, okay? And you need to show that, how his support of the Muslim Brotherhood ties in with that. You need to show how all his policies, his presidential, what do they call it, when he orders,
executive orders.
Yeah, his executive orders, how each one of those ties in with the final end. How does Agenda 21, all the little parts of Agenda 20, the UN implementation papers, how do all those little activities fit in with the one world order?
Real quick, Cindy, I hate to interrupt, but I do see we only have about 12, maybe 11 minutes left of live time, and we'll do just a little bit of the extended version, because I know myself, and I think you have a very important call also tomorrow. And if you want to talk a little bit about that, that's fine, Mark, tomorrow as well, so we won't be going long into the extended version, but I do want to offer the folks, if they'd like to call in here, a little bit of that. You can call in to listen at 347-945-7428. And if you'd like to chime in, just push 1 on the number dial. And I want to thank everyone for coming to the live show tonight. And if you're also listening to this on the archive, thank you as well. Please share the link with everyone so that they can get this information about the Patriot Journalist Network and join and check it out. And since we only have those few minutes left, I did have just one more question I wanted to get out to Mark. And it's pretty much kind of a catch-all. And if you want to repeat, because sometimes, you know, people who listen on the archives, they might just kind of skip over some things, but I want to make sure they get this information. And so if you could repeat where folks can go to experience and be a part of the Patriot Journalist Network, and if there's anything else you'd like to inform the audience about that we did not discuss, go ahead, Mark.
I think we covered most of it. The official website of Patriot Journalist Network is at patriotjournalist.com. Okay, you don't have to put www. dot in front of it if you don't want to. If you do, it'll still work. But just go to patriotjournalist.com. And on that website, you could probably spend the better part of an hour browsing around the various things that we offer the public and members and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of it's complicated, but you don't have to understand everything all at once. We really do want to meet you where you're at and help you have more influence on Twitter to help get the conservative conversation out there in more and more ways. The other thing I would like to say is that we are actively seeking to collaborate with other conservative groups. If there's a conservative group out there, face it, we're all struggling. But Patriot Journalist has been able to do what it's done because of teamwork, and we want to reach out to any conservative group. If there's a topic that is a focal point for you, well, by all means, let's get together and see if there's things we can agree on. Let's see if there's things we can do to work together. Let's see what help Patriot Journalist can give you and what help you can give Patriot Journalist. And let's do it for the cause. I also want to say before time is out, Robert, I greatly appreciate your hospitality and reaching out to me, and I'm glad you came to our Red Meat event the other night just to experience. And we're only getting started, so I'm very excited about what we've already been able to do, but what we're doing with a handful of people. Imagine if we had 100. Imagine if we had 1,000. What we're up against is tough, but together we're up to it. We're standing and we're really growing. So I do want to thank you, Robert, for your hospitality and the invitation to appear tonight, and we hope to see you and all of your audience in the Red Meat live events, or it's open 24/7. You can actually go there anytime.
Yeah, and I appreciate you coming on, Mark. It's great to have you on, and hopefully we'll be able to have you on subsequent shows as well and see you there over on the Patriot Journalist Network and Red Meat, and that's a hashtag too, right?
Yes, we do use Red Meat as a hashtag, and once we get in, if we go into some overtime, I think that one of our callers has actually now a new member of Patriot Journalist Network, and after we get off the live and get into the recording time, I can share with you just what to expect as a new member of Patriot Journalist Network, which is indicative of the unity and teamwork that we leverage.
Awesome. And that's great, and it's great to hear someone's already signed up. And for those listening live now, go ahead and check it out, or if you're here on the archives, do so as well. And, yeah, it can be posted on that, Mark. And, yeah, well, definitely. We do have some time here, but I do want to leave that to Cindy and James. If there's anything you want to add to the last few minutes here of the live portion before we get into the extended, as I said, we may do just a little bit in the extended version so Mark can go through you know, what you can do when you get to the PatriotJournalist.com, and then we'll close out the show after that. But I do think it's important for, you know, Mark to be able to get that out there. So go ahead, Cindy, and then James, and then we'll bring it back to you, Mark.
Well, I was done with what I was saying, but I just wanted to say the Newt show was great on Friday. I listened to it in the archives because I was unable to attend. But it was really good, and I'm looking forward to hearing more because even if Newt doesn't run, Newt's ideas are extremely important for our country because he really does have solutions for us. And if we can somehow implement them and get them out into the political world, I mean, if we can give them to the guys who are in office, like the Rand Pauls and the Ted Cruzes and the Mike Lees and the Justin Amashes, all those guys, they need to hear what Newt's saying. So he's a very important character still to this day.
Yeah, and folks, you can check out that show. It's called Newt News Fridays, and that was the first episode. It only ran for about an hour, testing the waters there. So definitely check it out. Got some great audio clips with Newt on there. So please check that out. I am going to be doing that on Friday evening. Unfortunately, this Friday, I will not be able to. That would be Friday the 13th. I have a company Christmas party that I must attend. And then that will go beyond the 10 o'clock starting period for that. But I am planning on doing the show on the subsequent Friday, which is the 20th. So I look forward to having folks, whether you're a Newt Gingrich supporter during the 2012 election or fan, Cindy's right, he does have some great, bold ideas for moving America forward. And so it would be great to have you listening to the show and giving us some information, because here on Bard's Logic, I call it the grassroots We the People show, because I do really enjoy when folks come on, and much like Patriot Journals, Mark, is where they have things that they want to talk about. Not, you know, I'll, of course, I always have the topics that I'd like to discuss as well, but I like for folks to be able to bring in issues that they believe are important. And they can even, you know, take over and co-host a little bit if they'd like. You know, just kind of run things, because the show is about the grassroots, and that's, you know, what's important here. That's kind of the model that Bard's Logic is looking to build. Kind of the brand is we're looking to build here on Bard's Logic Political Talk. So go ahead, James. We've got a couple here still of live, and then we'll bring it over to Mark. Go ahead, James.
I just wanted to say to Mark that, you know, everything I've heard you say about, you know, Patriot Journalist Network, or .com, rather, it just sounds like a fantastic idea, and James, congratulations to you for coming, you know, for putting all that together. You know, I started the Overpasses for America back in, you know, June 13th of this year. And, you know, we've put together quite a group of people, and from everything I've heard from you, I mean, I've enjoyed everything you've had to say. And, you know, we've always been looking out for, you know, to work together with other conservatives, because let's face it, the liberal side, I mean, even though they would devour each other like piranhas if we weren't here, they work together because they look at they look at conservatives, you know, constitution loving Americans as the enemy, regardless of whatever personal agenda they have. I'm like I said, as soon as I get done here, I will be on your website checking it out, and hopefully we can work together. I think it would be it'd be fantastic, you know. Have some of my people come over and help you out, and let's, you know, we've got to get this thing spread out. We've got to get things spread out and get people educated on what's really going on, and what's important in this country, and what, you know, and you know, what's constitutional in this country, and you know, because, you know, that is the foundation of America. And if we lose that foundation, you know, the entire building will fall. And you know, and if we don't stand together, you know, it's all going to cave in on us. And I don't know any good American that, you know, that I know personally that would stand by and just let that happen without doing something. And, you know, so you know, I'm looking forward to your website. I really am. And, you know, like I said, I've already retweeted quite a few things that you guys have sent out. And so just based on that testimony, I can tell you right now I'm already a fan. So,
okay.
You know, and I'll be looking more in depth. I'm very glad I called in, you know, that I called in, and I didn't have something show up and get in the way. So this has been a very productive evening. I'm glad to have met you.
Well, I appreciate all of your uplifting and encouragement. And by all means, you know, check out the website. And on the website, there's a contact form. And if you'll use that, you know, we can continue a dialogue and find ways we can do things together, and ways we, you know, because we got to get people piled on. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you're trying to do. You've got a vision, and you want people to pile on. I have a vision, and I want people to pile on, because without that, we can't accomplish the vision. So we all need each other in that sense, and there's a place for everybody. So thank you for those are very kind words. I couldn't have written them any better myself. That was well done. Thank you. I'm honored. And but let's see, Robert, are we at the stroke of midnight now? Are we into reporting?
We are. It officially just started, the extended version, just by a couple of seconds. So, yes, we are in the extended version here on Bard's Logic, and we will go in, you know, for a little while longer. And then
okay.
I'll proceed to close things out. So go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, and I do need to I wanted to point out an observation while Cindy was talking about Newt Gingrich. And I got thinking, if it weren't for Newt Gingrich, I don't think the three of us would even know each other. Newt Gingrich has impacted us. You would not have this show.
That's right.
And
that's
Patriot
right.
Journalists wouldn't exist, and Cindy Todd's, you know, so... You know, and I'm certainly a Newt Gingrich fan, but whether or not Newt is going to be the one carrying the flag, that flag needs to be carried, regardless of whether you were intending to vote for him or whatever. But the idea, the man is, one, he's an inspirational and motivational guy, but also his IQ is up in the sky. The man's brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
I marvel, you know, and he's not afraid to voice an idea, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, people kind of,
memory.
Yeah, people took shots at him, you know, about the moon exploration and all that. Well, really, how is that different from JFK?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
One thing that occurs to me, and it's crossed my mind when I, you know, Robert, when I've listened to you and Cindy talk about Newt, and I suppose the one thing that keeps popping into my head is, what is it that happened somewhere back in Newt's past where, I mean, because back when, you know, in the Contract for America days, and I was a huge fan of his, and for the life of me, I've actually racked my brains going, you know, these guys, I mean, I respect what they have to say, you and Cindy, and I'm trying, you know, for the life of me, trying to figure out, I don't know, where the luster fell off, you know.
I think there's two things. When you start becoming a leader and gaining popularity, you become a target.
Mm-hmm.
And Newt, like anybody else, you know, had things that people took shots at. And then later in his personal life, he made some errors that he acknowledges and apologizes for and has reconciled himself with. And that's some baggage that the mainstream media made him carry. And it hurt him. In my opinion, one of the other problems he has in terms of a candidacy in the future is just his age. You know, I think that where is the new younger leadership? Maybe it's Ted Cruz, maybe it's Rand Paul, maybe it's Jim Bridenstine. I don't know. But I think America is ready for, well, Obama is young. And I think America is we've got a lot of young people out there that are looking for a younger leader. And I think they're, you know, our generation has done some good things, but we've left a bill for them to pay, and I don't know if we can get around that.
Yeah, there's a trust issue. Sounds like there's a trust issue with, I don't want to say older folks. That's the term that first comes to mind, because they see where the old guard, and maybe that's how they see Newt, and what they, of course, it doesn't apply to him.
But it's understandable.
To them.
It's an understandable reality, and I think we have to work with. And one of the messages that Newt had after the convention, one that I rejected and many others did as well, but even Newt pleaded with us, saying, you know, I think you have to deal with the reality of the situation, you know.
Right.
Romney's the nominee, and, you know, and I certainly respect him. I couldn't go along with it, but But right, there's such a sentiment out there that but he was calling. He was pleading for unity. And but we're going to regroup and we're going to reattack. The other observation I wanted to just give a moment to is I believe that Dale, if he's still on the line, I believe we just got a new member.
Yeah, he unfortunately dropped off, and since we're
okay.
an extended period, we can't. He will be unable to call in.
Right. The phone. Yeah. We do have a new member whose first name is Dale. Okay. And what's going to be kind of interesting, assuming that that's him, is he has 10 Twitter followers at the time he opted in, and I've already followed him. But anytime a new member joins, we have a special account set up that sends out a tweet welcoming that new member and mentioning that new member by name, okay? Well, in the spirit of unity that we foster, many of our members have elected to retweet that welcome announcement, that tweet. And I'm pulling it up, and I'm looking back at one of the members here. That welcome announcement was retweeted 154 times.
Wow.
And many of those were automatic because our members, there's a place once you sign up, there's a member dashboard, there's some options there that you can just check a box and say, yeah, when we get a new member, I want to retweet that, you know, and many of them have. Now, what is the likelihood of you getting mentioned 150 times on Twitter if you have 11 followers?
Yeah.
I mean, boy, that better be a heck of a good tweet you're putting out.
I'm telling you.
ain't going to happen.
Call here for $1 million. You know, might get it for you.
But that's actually happening as we speak. I'm looking at the welcome tweet for him right now. And, that's actually, we've had another member join since then. But he's already gotten 20 retweets that simply say it's from an account called PJNet_welcome. It's a robot account, okay? It says PJNet welcomes our 2021st team member at DHRSMN. Not a member, check us out at patriotjournalist.com. Okay, that's all it says. But that is a mention that if you get on Twitter and get one of your tweet, get your name mentioned in somebody else's tweet, that is an influence builder. We won't go into clout and all the science and arithmetic and algorithms and all that. But let me tell you something. If you can get yourself mentioned by somebody else on Twitter, that is the capital. That is the money of Twitter. That's what grows your influence. That's what gets your name out in front of other people. Now, there's a lot of other factors. You know, you need to tweet. You know, I'm amazed. I was browsing today looking to find some Tea Party groups to reach out to. So I did a search on Tea Party, and I saw hundreds and hundreds of Tea Party accounts. Most of them haven't tweeted in months, if not years.
Wow.
This is the reality we're working with. One thing that will help you build influence and get you followers on Twitter is, get this now, write this down. It's very complicated. You might forget. Tweet. Damn it. Why would anybody want to follow somebody that never tweets? Well, that's one of the reasons we have the drip engine. It makes it possible for you to put your own words in an engine that will tweet it for you on the schedule that you choose. And we hold Twitter boot camps, by the way, in these red meat sessions, okay? This is one of the goals, is we know that, hey, look, Twitter's not easy to understand. Man, I almost quit one time. I mean, I'd had it.
That's my problem. I can't understand it, so I haven't even signed up.
I know. It is not easy to understand, but I promise you this. Once you understand it, it is 100 times more powerful than Facebook ever hopes to be.
And that's the magic words I was hoping to hear.
And I can give you the technical reason for that. Is here's the problem. And I used to be a Facebook junkie. This whole thing of video chat started out as a Facebook thing, okay, a Facebook app. Here's the problem with Facebook. First of all, it's at its root, it's based on a symmetrical relationship between you and another person. In other words, both have to be joined at the hip. You can't just say, I'm your friend, and they can't say, you're my friend. You both have to agree to be friends. That's called symmetry.
Uh-huh.
This is not the case in Twitter. So that means, well, for example, I have, and this is not in the way of self-aggrandizement, okay? But right now, and I've been on Twitter for 2 years, and the first year I didn't do anything, okay? But I've got 14,630 followers personally. So that is my potential audience. When I tweet something, potentially 14,630 people might read what I said. And what we want to do it.
How do all those 16,000 people know every time you tweet something?
No. And no more than your Facebook friends know you put something on Facebook.
Right, that's okay. True.
You know. But you know, to the more people you have, obviously the better. But one of the goals, and this came out in one of our video chat sessions that we called Newt Now back in the day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We just organically came up with this thing of, hey, let's all do this. You know, let's retweet each other. You tweet something and then the rest of us will retweet it. And then we began to make sort of this covenant amongst ourselves that we were going to diligently retweet each other. Well, I began, you know, as this kind of rolled on, I began to realize, gosh, that, you know, Barbara, she is very faithful in retweeting me, but she's only got 300 followers. So if you're going to retweet somebody, gee, the more followers you have, the better that, the more meaning that has, the more value it has. So I just one night said, look, here, just go down my timeline. If I'm following somebody, follow them. Just don't even think about it. Just follow them. And we began doing that. And next thing you know, well, let's look up Barbara. Barbara goes by Sunbelt Girl on Twitter.
That's funny. Sunbelt.
Mm-hmm. Today, okay, this was a year ago. She had 300 and something followers. Today she's got 16,000.
Wow.
16,000.
Wow.
And Barbara is about as... I mean, she's shy, really. Trust me.
She is. I know Barbara.
Are you talking about Barbara Haney?
No, different Barbara.
Oh, okay.
There's like three different Barbaras.
I was going to say, because Barbara Haney is not shy.
Yeah. But now, when so it is in everybody's interest for all of us conservatives to help one another out and help each other get more followers. And that's part of what we do. It's programmed in. It's engineered in. It's in my DNA. We're a team. If you strengthen the individual players on the team becomes stronger. When something happens to one of our team members, the entire team suffers. So we look out for one another. We support one another. We encourage one another. When somebody's having a downtime, we reach down and help them. We don't shoot our wounded. Okay? So it's teamwork. It's actually very simple. It's not complex. but we want to help people on Twitter. We understand. I certainly do. Look, Twitter's hard to understand. But there are tricks and there are techniques and there are tools. Oh, that'll preach. Tricks, techniques, and tools. Let me write. That'll tweet.
Yeah, there you go. Three
T's. Yep.
The
three that's
tweet,
called a,
the three
a liter-
Twitter.
That's called alliteration. Tricks, techniques, and
now,
tools.
Here's a question. It was a suggestion that somebody, and they actually concurred with what you said as far as the power of Twitter versus Facebook, and it was that much, you know, they're like, eventually you're going to have to just get off of Facebook because Twitter's that much better. And,
that's what I did.
And, you know, right now, you know, I would have to say probably 90% of overpasses is based on Facebook. And they didn't get called fascist book for nothing. And so that's kind of a fear we always have to worry about is getting, you know, permanently booted off of there.
Mm-hmm.
And what was I getting at? He suggested, and I don't know, you know, he's very good at Twitter, so I give him some credibility. And everything he's ever suggested to me to try has worked out fantastically. But he said that if you put a period before, you know, like, say you want to go at Speaker John Boehner, right? And you put a period before it, it prevents some sort of being able to be banned or something of that nature. Is that true?
The short answer is no, and let me say why I say it's no. First of all, nobody knows. I'm a Twitter application developer, and as such, I have made it my duty to read the Twitter programmer documentation, and nowhere is it suggested that at all. In fact, they make it very clear that their suspension algorithm is not documented. The limits that they set, they just say too much, too often, or whatever. And there's a reason for that, because if they said how much was too much, people like me that can program would push it right up to that line. And not
right.
Try. So that puts the brakes on all of us, okay? However, I have read many, many, many blogs that are not authoritative on the matter. And it just depends on who you want to believe, but none of them know. And here is my final point as to the real reason I say, no, it's not true. If you know about it, and you – now, did I hear you say you're not really Twitter savvy? Did I get that in a previous comment you made?
Yeah, I'm just
okay.
I'm pretty much not quite a complete novice, but I'm starting to swim – starting to wade a little bit deeper, but, you know.
Okay, so if you're aware of this loophole in their algorithm, do you think possibly Twitter – might know about it and have fixed that little loophole by now?
Yeah, point
so
taken.
If it ever was true, it's no longer true. It might have been true at one time that somehow foiled their algorithm, okay? But it's inconceivable to me with so many people doing it and blogging about it and talking about it, that Twitter is just totally in the dark with their head up their butts and hasn't caught on. So I think it's ludicrous. I don't believe. But here's the other thing, is what you need to understand is rather than try to circumvent the system, work with the system, moderate. That's why we have a drip engine. You can tweet. It would be better to send out 24 tweets once an hour throughout the day than to send out 24 in 1 hour. Because 24 in 1 hour is going to be considered, quote, excessive. So that's why I call it a drip engine. It, you know, and by the way, you can't drink water out of a damn fire hydrant. Come on. Get real. Nobody wants to hear from you that much, or me, or anybody else.
Right.
And there is this tendency for people to, they're so passionate about what they believe in that they want to ram it down everybody's throat.
I think
you lose
like
more people. You lose more than
line of, yeah, sometimes I see a whole line where someone just says like 7 to 10 tweets is like right in a row.
Well, and that's part of what Patriot Journalist Network does is we can, instead of having, one person or each person say something, well, we spread it around where you don't have to tweet something 1,000 times. We tweet it once and then get 1,000 people to retweet it. And that way the it's spread, it's, I hate to use the word socialized, but that's actually the right word. We spread that burden around to where you're only retweeting something once a day. In fact, a Twitter bomb that we call it goes out at the rate of one retweet per minute. It presently takes over 33 hours to execute a Twitter bomb. So as far as that period, I've never used it, and I've never been suspended.
Okay. Well, I know my first account got suspended, and then it turns out I'd put my email address in wrong and never could get the account back. So
yeah, you start another one. But when your account is new,
mistake.
Okay, and nobody knows the algorithm, but I can tell you, I can assure you of this. When you set up a new account, that account is subjected to a high degree of scrutiny. The rules are much tighter. As the account gets older, as the account gets more followers, you see, it's important to have followers because you can tweet more, you can retweet more, you can mention more if you have enough followers. The ratio of how many you're following versus how many follow you, that's probably part of that formula. So we have tools to help you get rid of followers that you should not have. And you say, well, why would you get rid of a follower? Well, for one thing, they're inactive. They haven't tweeted in months.
Right.
Okay? They're baggage. and they're not, and there's limits on how many you can follow, and there's ratios and all this. So we hold exhaustive Twitter boot camps at whatever level you're at. We want you at a higher level because you're a fellow patriot, and we want you to have more influence because you're part of our team, and what's good for the individual is good for the team. So it's just, it's common sense, guys. It's not
now,
hard.
Now, what time was that again on Friday?
Fridays from 9 to 11 Eastern time. We also do it on Tuesdays. We also have a session on Monday evenings. It's not about any particular topic. It's just conservative, you know, stuff. But that's held Monday from 7 to 9.
Well, I may bring a crew with me Friday, so.
Well, I hope I'll be there. Now, by the way, the facility's open 24/7, so you're welcome to go there and just check it out.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's, like I said, as soon as we're done here, that's what I'm going to go do. And unless I just go in there and see, you know, find some hidden compartment that says I heart Obama, well, I think I'm on board.
Yeah. Well, we actually would welcome welcome Obama. He's got 200 and something million followers, so if he wants to opt in, we'd take him.
His followers might not like what they hear, but
well, by the way, Obama has a high number of fake followers. They're robots and inactive. He's purchased a lot of those followers, and they're not, you know. And we know where these tools are. We've learned, and it's not a secret, by the way. But it's a whole lot better if we get together and pool. Hey, I found this website. I go to this website that'll tell you just how many followers of yours are either fake or inactive. It's really cool.
Oh, wow.
And,
check that out.
Yeah. It's really good, and I try to keep mine in the high 90s. And I'm checking it right now. Because I hadn't checked it in 24 hours. But it's a pretty good site. And according to this site, it's getting my score. Uh-huh. It's still getting it. It's getting it. Yeah, it must be getting a fresh load. 96% of the people that follow me are considered good, 4% are inactive, and 0% are fake. When somebody purchases followers, that fake number will skyrocket. You can go purchase 10,000 followers. Pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you all the reasons not to do that. It's a terrible idea, one that you will regret. But even if it was a good idea, I would say it's a bad idea because your intent there is to deceive people, and that's called lying.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. And
you know,
your credibility just goes right out the window once
people find out about that. Yeah, I was actually approached. I'm collaborating with another group by a candidate running for an office, and that candidate had purchased 10,000 followers. And we called him out on it and said, you know, we won't work with you. It's if you paid us $1 million, we're not going to be hired until and unless we clean this up first. And, of course, that created a bunch of division among their ranks, and we hadn't heard from them since, and that's fine. But the intent is to deceive.
Right.
Oh, I've got a bunch of followers. Well, here, I got a bet. Well, first of all, you're fooling yourself. No, you don't. You've got a bunch of robotic accounts that don't even speak English. You don't have an audience. See, the thing is, when people say, I've got this many followers, you know, and they're bloviating, what they're trying to say is, I've got this big audience and I've got this big influence. No, you don't. No, you don't. And one of the principles that I've tried to live by and instill in those that work for me is, I want to know the facts, even the ones I don't want to hear. I mean, Hitler had this problem. Hitler might could have won the damn war if he'd have listened to his generals, but he would not allow them to give him the facts. They would soon find themselves headless or working in a concentration camp and not as the commandant. So his generals became intimidated because they were afraid to tell him the truth. I would just like to know the truth. How many followers do I have that's actually real? And I have a pretty high score on that. Clout is another one. I'm not a big fan of clout, but you do need to pay attention to your clout score and what you're doing and how it's going to impact that, because people like me are going to check you out. And Patriot Journalist Network will help you with your clout score. There's a lot of stuff, guys. It's boring as all get out. That's why I didn't want to go into all this during the live time. But Twitter is a complicated thing to understand, but I promise you it can be mastered, and you just master it one little thing at a time. You learn, here's what you can do, here's what you can't, here's how to be more effective. But we want everybody to be more effective that's on our team, because that's how we're going to advance the conservative cause.
Sounds great, and I see that it's almost already to the bottom of the hour, and so I'm going to go ahead and get ready to close some things out. So do you have any last comments, Cindy, and then James, and we'll leave it to you, Mark, and then I will close out the show. And thank you very much, Mark, for coming on tonight, and looking forward to doing some more work with you on Patriot Journalist Network. So go ahead, Cindy, and then we'll go to James, and then said you, Mark, and then I'll close things up.
Well, like I said before, I really appreciate you guys being on. I hope that you'll show up here many, many times, on a regular basis even, and help us get the word out, because people need to wake up, and I don't know how else to get them to wake up other than just telling the truth and hope that they believe you. And we have to offer them documentation. We have to offer them proof of what we're saying, and you know, we need to tie in all the things that are going on with the ultimate agenda, the ultimate goal that they're after, so that people can understand why they're doing the things that they're doing. But anyway, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And thank you, Robert, for having us.
Oh, well, thanks for coming, Cindy. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And looking forward to next Wednesday and next Friday with the second episode of Newt's News Friday. That will be on the 20th of December. And so, James, we bring the mic over to you in our round table, and go ahead.
Well, I'd just like to say, Mark, again, you know, before I ever came here, I was already a fan. It was a very pleasant surprise to run across the guy that started the PJ Net thing, and you know, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and really, I look forward to us working together to, well, fix what we've got wrong in this country.
And we need your help. That's a big task.
You know, we've got people out on the streets, and we're always looking for more. And of course, you know, you're looking for more people to, you know, to help with what you're doing. And really, I think we might have a potential for a very symbiotic relationship.
I'm definitely in there with you. You know, look, of course, always looking for more audience members and participants, not just folks who come in and listen to the show, which I really appreciate people coming and listen to the show, but also, you know, like to have more folks call in, more folks participate, whether it's in the chat or, you know, calling in or actually take part in some of the activities that we promote here at the show.
Yeah, I'm going to have to mentally flog some of my people to get on and call in on your show more, Robert. I'm not sure what's the last few times I've been on, but I'm gonna have to crack the whip on them a little bit.
Well, I think it's just, you know, I sincerely think it's the season, and a lot of folks are, you know, doing things surrounding the Christmas season, and I believe that's a big part of it.
Oh yeah, you know, we've had a bit of a slowdown, and it, you know, 'tis the season. I mean, come on, it's Christmas. Who wants to be
talking,
you know,
about politics? What's wrong,
right,
with the country?
Exactly. You know, I mean, it's Christmas. Forget it for a month. We'll get back to it on January 2nd.
You can't give it up for a month. No.
No, I know, but, you know, a lot of people, I mean, just waking people up is a task in and of itself, and you know, you just get them stirred, and then Christmas comes along, and they're like, well, I'm going to go take a nap, you know? But, no, Mark, it's been a pleasure. It really truly has, you know?
Well, thank
and,
you,
Jay. You know, as soon as Robert closes the show out, I will be on your page.
Yeah, I'm gonna go hang out in the Red Meat chat room. So if you go over there, I'll be there for a few minutes. But I can't stay up real late. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., I have a call with the social media director of a little known organization called the Heritage Foundation.
Oh, very nice.
I'll know that.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. I don't want to make too big a deal of it because, first of all, I don't think Heritage Foundation itself is going to be the propellant that we need. It's probably going to be Heritage Action. But, you know, you got to go through the steps to get there. But that's an important event that's coming up in my life tomorrow. But, Robert, again, thank you for the opportunity. And you know, it's been too long since we've gotten together and worked together, so...
Right.
We've worked together well in the past, and we need to reinvigorate that.
I agree. No, I agree wholeheartedly. And thank you very much, Mark. It was great having you on the show. And I'd definitely like to have you on again to talk to other folks, you know, bring them into the Patriot Journalist Network. And I want to thank you, the audience, for listening, whether you listened live tonight or listened to the archives. And definitely check out the Patriot Journalist Network at patriotjournalist.com. And also, if you could go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And, of course, share the link here to tonight's show with a lot of folks because this is some great information to bring the grassroots together in activism. And, of course, while you're on the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, please go to the Give page. Of course, check them all out, especially in this season of giving. Go to the Give page. And we do have links to donate to the Patriot Journalist. None of the things that they do is free, so definitely need the financial support. But you also find some great organizations on there as well, such as the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, Cancer Free Kids, and also the Angel Heart Farm. So there's some great charitable organizations to check out as well. And it could be some great gifts for your children and others. In this season by participating in that kind of teach them charitable giving. So I will end tonight as I do every night, and that is with the song by Aubrey Ashburn. Just beautiful song, helped kind of unwind from an exciting show. So you can hear more of her music at www.aubreyashburn.com. Take care, everyone. Good night, and I look forward to seeing you again on the next show. Take care.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.